start off with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name, grant us the light of your Holy Spirit. Enlighten us to guide us and strengthen us in our faith journey. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today what I want to speak about is hard hearts, unbelieving hearts, or lack of faith. And thirdly, not to give up on yourself or some loved one if you sense a hard heart or lack of faith. Now we have the prophet Ezekiel here in the first reading. And the Lord God says, I'm sending you to the Israelites. And they've been rebelling, and they're obstinate in heart. And our Lord says they have a hard face. I'm sending you to them. Now, whether they respond or not, I want you to do is give them the truth, because I do will every man, woman, and child to be saved. But they would resist. And many people in their spiritual lives, in their lives, would put up protective walls around their heart. Some evident signs would be having trouble getting one's heart into prayer. Or perhaps those who are close to you not opening your hearts up to them. Husband and wives, you know that. Sometimes you're going through tensions, you're not opening your heart, put up a wall there, a brick. Or worse, putting up a wall, not allowing God's love or peace to enter his heart, but you feel him knocking at the door. Examples of a hard heart would be, Mom, stop talking to me about church. I don't want to go. Or maybe a wife is trying to get her husband to pray a little bit more. Hey, honey, I'm going down to the adoration chapel. We're praying the rosary and joining. Stop telling me about that. You know, that's an example of a hard heart. Or, no, I know the church teaches that, but I disagree. These are all examples of hard hearts. And hard hearts are bad because there's a wall there preventing God's grace from coming into our heart. Now, for example, there's a book I'm reading. It's called The Boy Who Met Jesus. This is connected with Our Lady of Cabejo. Those apparitions that happened in Rwanda from 1981 to about 1989. And this young man who our Lord Jesus appeared to, wasn't even baptized, just a pagan, didn't know about Jesus. And Jesus tells about himself, and then 2 months later, then he's introduced to the Mother of God. And he said, God doesn't abandon any of his children. He's repeating the words of Jesus. He is always waiting for you to say yes to him and to let him into your hearts. He's always there. On Judgment Day, the Lord will show everyone their entire lives, and people will know that they are the authors of their own fate. God will show them their lifetime of deeds, and then that person will go where they deserve to go. Do not think that God does not see your sins. The Lord sees your every action and knows your every thought. Repent. There's not much time left. If you need help to open your hearts to Jesus, pray to his mother to come to your aid. One solution to open those hard hearts. And there's a prayer here. I'm just going to pray here, even though it's right in the middle of the sermon here. It's a beautiful prayer. It goes like this. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his precious blood, may any walls put up around my heart be broken. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his precious blood, may any walls that are put up around my heart, may they be broken. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes you may not know what that exact wall is, but Jesus does. And so you ask him, Lord, you shed your blood on the cross for my sanctification, my salvation. Please break that wall in. There's some walls that have been put up years and years ago. Now, the second verse. The first part is hard heart. We've got to get rid of the hard heart, those binding walls, so that God's love can come and transform us, so we can grow in a life of faith. Now, we have the gospel. And something amazing. It says Jesus was not able, he's God, to perform many mighty deeds there, because of their lack of faith. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, faith is important. St. Paul says in the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what is faith? He says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You know, the church teaches this, therefore I believe it. Now, Father John Cardin, who I mention quite often, he's a servant of God, and I have a great admiration for him. He says, then, well, what then is faith? And he says, divine faith is man's response to God's revelation of himself and his will for the human race. So God's revelation of himself to us, so it's in the catechism, it's in the scriptures, it's in the voice of the church. And he says a lot of other beautiful things about it, but I want to emphasize this. He said that our faith is free. We are free to believe and free to disbelieve. We may wish to assent to it, or we may dissent from it. We have that choice. We have that power. It's something that's just fascinating. We as creatures, and God is the creator, we could say yes or no to the one who created us. And that's why we need daily prayer. That's why we need confession. That's why we need the Eucharist, to empower our wills to say yes. Confession is a breakdown of the wall, but to say yes to God. Now, here's a wonderful story I came across just the other day, in fact. It's a gentleman. I'm going to start off as a gentleman. And he had the faith growing up. He stopped practicing. When you don't practice the faith, you're allowing a fresh infusion of God's grace and love into one's heart. The walls start being built up, and they can be sturdy. But never give up hope. This story takes place this year. And it's told by Sister Emmanuel. For those who here are familiar with Our Lady of Medjugorje, there's a nun over in Medjugorje, Sister Emmanuel, who's kind of popular. She's originally from France, had a conversion, then became Catholic, and then became a nun. And she tells a story of what happened April this year, April 27th. A man from Paris, his name is Jean, I'll just call him John. John was giving his testimony of his conversion at Medjugorje. And he had just been released from prison, having killed a man. At the age of 14, he stopped practicing the faith, abandoned it. He made that decision. He got involved with drugs. He got involved with a woman. He was living with a lady that wasn't even his wife. Then he got into a fight. You know, when a soul is not right with God, it's really easy to get agitated. He gets in a fight with this guy, Gilbert, and it hits him so hard that Gilbert dies. So Jean is arrested, and he's sentenced to 12 years in prison. Now, this is 2003 when he kills the man. His girlfriend, Jessica, in 2008, 5 years after this murder, she goes to Medjugorje. All of a sudden, a transformation takes place for her. She knows the love of God. She starts praying the rosary. So when she gets back, she goes and visits John in prison, gives him a rosary, and starts teaching him in her visits how to pray the rosary. So he starts doing that. And then from that, then he starts reading the Bible. And then by God's grace, he's released for good behavior. And on April 6th, Good Friday, in 2012, he's released. Think about that date. The day that Christ paid the price for our sins is the day that John is not free from prison. Now, the first thing he does now is goes to confession. Hadn't been in the sacrament of confession for 17 years, he goes to confession. He lets it be known among some of his friends, I gotta get to this place called Medjugorje. I know there's gonna be graces there in store for me. So this one person gets word, says, I'm gonna pay for your trip. And so, 21 days later, after being released from prison, April 27th, 2012, this year, he is there in Medjugorje. And there's thousands of people, and there's all the confessionals around. And there's a few people traveling, like in his group there, that know he's been out of prison, but otherwise word is not out. He's just gotten out of prison. So during the Mass, Sister Emmanuel says something she had never seen in Medjugorje. She lives there. The priest invited John. John, I want you to come up and give your testimony. Tell what God has done for you. So John, a little bit nervous but filled with joy, comes up there. And real briefly, he tells his story what had happened. He turned his back on Christ and the church, stopped praying. His heart was hardened, gave into drugs, gave into fornication, all these other sins that led to murder. But then he said how Our Lady came into his life, and how he went to confession, and how he was so sorry for what he had done, did in killing Gilbert. Okay, Father. Okay, I've heard stories similar. Guess what happens? Guess who was in St. James Church that very day when John was giving his testimony? The family of Gilbert. The family of Gilbert was there. They didn't know he was going to be there. He didn't know they were going to be there. And afterwards, they came up to him. That day, heaven opened up in Medjugorje after Mass. They saw each other. They fell into each other's arms and they reconciled. There were tears of weeping, joy, full of emotion for having known Jesus and Mary. Such a man said, if I wasn't there to know this, and see, I wouldn't believe it. Isn't God wonderful? So John goes through a conversion. He says, Lord, I want all these walls gone. I want to be free of all this sin and this good. I open my heart up. I believe, Lord. I believe. I believe everything the church teaches. But there's something that was nagging him, I would imagine. I want to tell that family I'm sorry. And God, in his loving providence, put Gilbert's family, boom, there at that same Mass in Medjugorje, 1,000 miles away. Isn't that wonderful? So you never give up hope. Never give up hope. But we have to ask the Lord, Lord, what walls will I put up? I need your grace and strength to move them. Lord, I believe. Help me to have a stronger faith. Help me to nourish it by daily prayer and frequent communion and frequent confession. And to do that, God will work wonderful, wonderful things in our life. Then he can work miracles because we're giving him permission. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.